This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Good morning. Buongiorno, Ashley. Good to be with you again and happy feast day.
Well, John, it is great to be with you. Happy birthday to Our Lady. Happy to spend this time with you and our listeners today.
Absolutely. I imagine it's a joyful time for today's Wednesday audience for the Holy Father. What was the message of Pope Francis to the faithful on this feast day of our Blessed Mother?
Yes, today the audience was again held inside the Paul VI Audience Hall, and Pope Francis spoke about how in Christ all are equal. He said, those who accept Christ have put on Christ. And there's a certain kind of what he called the filial dignity that comes through baptism. So he continued in that catechesis of St. Paul to the Galatians, and he spoke about how this divine sonship, as he called it, how does that happen? Well, he said it's through baptism, because baptism is not just what he called an external rite, but rather it is a time of authentic transformation, and where new life comes to the one who is baptized. And of course, it's through that new life that one can turn to God and call him Father, call him Abba. And he said that, of course, that with that, there's just this radically new condition that comes upon the newly baptized. And he called that the divine sonship that makes all people children of Christ. And he said that it's that sonship that also prevails over differences amongst us. He quoted Galatians 3:28, beyond differences of Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female. And he noted the Apostle Paul's insistence to the Christians not to forget the newness of this teaching, the timelessness, and to remember that. And today the Pope encouraged Christians to remember with gratitude the moment that they became Christians, that is, that moment of baptism, so they can live out that gift that they have received with an even greater awareness. And he encouraged all Christians to find out their baptism date. Happy to say mine is coming up just in this month on the 22nd, and he encouraged all to find that date and to celebrate it. And he concluded the audience today, John, with special greetings to the people of Ethiopia as they begin the celebration of their new year on the 11th of September, John.
And Ashley, I think it's appropriate that the Holy Father is speaking about our Lord Jesus Christ, meditating on Galatians, because that's what our Blessed Mother wants. It's all about her son. She points us to her son, even on her birthday, even though it's her birthday. We're focusing on Jesus Christ at the audience.
It is always to Jesus through Mary, and we can imagine just meditating upon his face through a mother's eyes. So there is no greater gift that she could receive today for her birthday, John.
Absolutely. And what kind of celebrations are going on in Roma and across Italy on this feast day of the birthday of our Blessed Mother?
Well, you know, we wouldn't miss an opportunity for a celebration over here, John. And there's all kinds of things happening. So for example, at the church that my husband, John, and I belong to, it's called Our Lady of Grace of the Furnaces. It's got a nice long name. Today is their feast day. So, of course, at Mass this morning, it was so wonderful. The icon of Our Lady of Grace was there surrounded by flowers. Then outside of the church, they've actually erected these giant, beautiful flowers all made of lights on the church. And they're wonderful colors at night. Then they will have a Eucharistic procession that goes all throughout our neighborhood. As we process, we pray the rosary, then a band plays between each decade, people sing, and it's such a moving experience, John, because, you know, imagine walking through the streets, of course, being led by our Lord in the Eucharist, and as he is processed high, and then you pass through the streets, and imagine that sometimes people get frustrated because it blocks traffic and all those things, but yet, on the other hand, you see people just stopping whatever they're doing, and falling to their knees in adoration of our Lord. Such a beautiful experience. And then in other parts of Italy, great celebrations going on. One of my favorites, John, is in a town called Prato, which is in Tuscany. And what happens today is that they will have a grand parade, people wearing medieval costumes. They will eventually finish in front of the Cathedral of Prato, and three different organizations will be present, and they will each carry a key. So two of those keys belong to the municipality of Prato, the other one to the diocese. And each of the key bearers uses their one key to open this beautiful chest, and in it contains a very precious relic of the town. It is the relic of what's called the Holy Girdle, the Santa Cintola. And this is one of the most beloved and prized relics. It belongs to the city, of course. And what it is, it's a green girdle or belt, and it has these golden threads woven in and these tassels. And it's said to have belonged to Our Lady herself. And the story goes that it was delivered by Our Lady to St. Thomas at the moment of her assumption to heaven. And then it was passed down through the family of a priest. He ended up with it in his possession, passed it down through his family. It was given to his niece when she married a man from Prato. And that is how it ended up here in Tuscany. And so it is such a precious relic here. This is a very special day in every way. And right here at our own house, my husband John and I are having an aperitivo, a little birthday party for Our Lady this afternoon with a bunch of friends, and my parents are visiting. So we're looking forward to celebrating, John.
Sounds fantastic. Ashley, I know from my travels to Rome, the love and the affection that the Italian people have for our Blessed Mother is amazing. I mean, there are statues of our Blessed Mother all over Rome. There are icons of Madonna and Child. And then, of course, there's St. Mary Major, the beautiful Basilica, Santa Maria Maggiore. I imagine that place is going to be hopping today on the birthday of the Blessed Mother.
That is a very special place of pilgrimage today. And John, I love that you pointed out that when we just simply walk the streets of Rome, we see Our Lady's loving, guiding maternal eyes everywhere we go because of the tradition of the Madonelle, those beautiful mosaics or frescoes that have been attached to the sides of buildings. So it's such a wonderful thing because people also, just ordinary people of the neighborhood, have particular devotions to a different one of these Madonelle, different one of these images of Our Lady. So for example, if on your walk to work, maybe you pass seven of these as you go, you know, you stop and you pray in front of each. You pray Hail Mary for a different intention. You'll see people leaving flowers in front of these images high on the buildings. They bring up their little ladders and they'll crawl up and place their flowers there. So yes, it's such a beautiful thing to know that Rome is under the watchful eyes of the Blessed Virgin Mary, John.
And Ashley, the Holy Father Pope Francis has been praying for the people who are suffering from Hurricane Ida and the remnants of Ida that it killed around 50 people here in our country and caused all this historic flooding in New York, New Jersey, that whole Northeast area. And he had a special message at the Angelus on Sunday for the victims of Hurricane Ida.
He did. In fact, he wanted the world to be assured of his prayers. He wanted the people to know, especially that his heart was with them. He assured them of his closeness and especially praying for the souls of the dead. And he prayed for support for all of those who are suffering from this calamity and all of those who are responding with help, John.
And he's always reminding us, and he did it again at the Angelus on Sunday, about the importance of silent prayer with the Gospels, calling it the secret to spiritual health. I thought that was a great insight by the Holy Father.
Yes, in fact. So he called it the secret to spiritual health, because he said that it's through the Gospels that we can truly, authentically understand the direction that we're going, and when we can align and live an integrated life that aligns our mind, body, and soul, and leads to what he referred to as that healthful way of approaching life, John.
Ashley, Pope Francis, Anglican Archbishop Justin Welby, and the Orthodox Patriarch Bartholomew I released an unprecedented joint message yesterday, Tuesday, calling the climate crisis a devastating injustice. How important is this issue to the Holy Father?
Well, of course, he has spoken about caring for God's creation again and again throughout his pontificate. And he has spoken about the importance of really cooperation in caring for creation. And so this was a symbolic example of how these different religious leaders could come together and come up with, promote social, economic, and environmental stability, and how to be responsible stewards towards the what he called the individual and collective responsibility for what he called our God-given endowment, John.
Absolutely. And Ashley, tell us about the Eucharistic Congress in Hungary, in which over 1,200 children are going to receive their first Holy Communion.
Yes, so exciting. So the Eucharistic Congress is going on right now. It actually started on the 5th of September there in Budapest. And it's exciting. It's the 52nd International Eucharistic Congress. And there are 25 cardinals and bishops from throughout the world who are taking place in the workshops and in the various events there. And they're calling it, the organizers are calling it, a celebration of the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. So praise God. Sounds absolutely amazing. We have also been getting some live on the ground reports from friends who are there who are talking about how powerful it's been. And John, in fact, on Sunday, Pope Francis, on the 12th of September, he will be there live for the closure of the Congress, celebrating Mass in Heroes Square there in the capital of Budapest. And after that, he will carry on to travel to Slovakia. There will be a 1,000-person-strong choir singing at the Mass, which is so beautiful to think of. And it's so fantastic that you mentioned, John, those hundreds and hundreds of children who are participating in this Congress, because just the other day, 1,200 children received their first communion right there. They are, of course, you can imagine, the youngest pilgrims who are participating in this 52nd International Eucharistic Congress, and such an exciting time. So good to know our church is growing. So good to know that the real presence of Jesus Christ, his body, blood, soul, and divinity, is being celebrated these days. And again, that Congress goes from the 5th of September until the 12th of this month.
And I always remember that the Holy Father, before he goes on any international trip or any trip, he usually makes a stop at St. Mary Major to ask for the Blessed Mother's intercession.
He does. He does. That has become a habit of the Holy Father before he goes, and actually when he returns as well, in thanksgiving to Our Lady for the safe passage. And of course, with prayers for all of those who were touched, in hopes that they will continue to move further on their journey to come closer and closer to the Lord.
Well, Ashley, I hope you and your family and John enjoy our Blessed Mother's birthday today in Rome. Many blessings to you.
Oh, thank you so much. We wish you a very happy feast. We're looking forward to celebrating with some cake, and we'll do a toast for our Relevant Radio family too.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Noronha every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.